Hangover with Gus Kattengill. Local sports, national sports. The G-Cat is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, saddle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
It is a brand new week as we are in the month of May. First full week of May as we get closer to OTAs for you Saints fans. Still got some Saints chatter and NFL chatter as we get closer and closer. Two teams doing that. A couple of teams that have new head coaches have been able to get out there and work and do that. And yes, includes your Atlanta Falcons. I don't know if you saw that before. I'm sure the Graf could not wait to see the very first video of none other than, yep, you know, Kirk Cousins throwing a screen pass. Oh, what a screen pass. You've never seen a screen pass like that screen pass out of here. It's coming. And look, let's be honest. I'm making fun of it right now. But the way it's going to go is you're going to see it. And you can't wait for the very first time that, you know, Derek Carr throws a pass under the new offense under Clint Kubiak. The watchful eye of Clint Kubiak. And let's be honest, if it's Alvin Kamara catching the screen pass, you're going to feel a lot better than if it's not Alvin Kamara catching the screen pass, even though it's a voluntary workout. Look, we're going to get into all of that and more. Got some fun lined up for you. Ali Cosell is going to join us next segment as we are going to continue to talk about the NBA playoffs. It is still bittersweet. The Pelicans are still not in it. We will continue to talk a little bit about that with him and Mario Harez, who is going to bring up a tweet that I saw over the weekend. And look, this is the season. It's tis the season, right? While games are still going on and while everything else is still going on, there is still the speculation. Who's gone? Who's not? Is this player available in the trade? We're not bringing this guy back. Maybe we bring this guy back. There was a tweet over the weekend about Brandon Ingram. And again, none of this is going to be surprising to anybody, right? When you're the Pelicans and you get swept, and David Griffin says, hey, we've kind of seen enough. We've seen enough. And we're not going to stand by. This is an uber-competitive Western Conference. And look, I kept bringing it up as well. Last week, when you see the teams that didn't make the Western Conference, are they going to be below that black line that separates 10 and everyone else? Ja Morant, healthy, the Grizzlies will not be a non-playoff team. It's not going to happen. The brief two-week period or three-week whatever period that he was healthy this NBA season following suspension, he beat the Pelicans twice himself. So I don't see the Grizzlies watching. Victor Wembanyama and the Spurs have played tremendous. And one of the things I'm going to talk to Ali about is you're starting to see some players. Oh, I don't know. Linking either their names, their agents, or speculation about players that could be maybe wanting to go play with him or not. So it's just, you know, one being Devin Booker, who's also linked to the Thunder. Again, both teams, it wouldn't make me feel any better if I'm a Pels fan. Anyway, we'll talk to Ali about that here a little bit as well, as we'll chat some NBA basketball in the playoffs. I'm really looking forward to the two games tonight. You got the Pacers and Knicks, and you got game two of the T-Wolves and Nuggets. Minnesota winning game one on the road. Anthony Edwards, spectacular, 40-plus points. Jalen Brunson and the Pacers is going to be fun tonight to see. So I am kind of excited just to continue watching that here as well. 1:15, we'll talk with Rafael Esparza a little bit about those odds. There was a fight over the weekend. We'll chat on that here as well. And then if you're a wrestling fan or not, but WWE Backlash was in France Saturday morning here, Saturday afternoon, evening over there. And it was a massive success to the point where Triple H, the guy that runs it over there, said, you could be seeing, you know, massive events, even WrestleMania, eventually going overseas. Although it was announced right before the Kentucky Derby that it would be in Vegas next year. And yes, I might have already asked Esparza as he can hook us up, and he just laughed at us. So anyway, we'll touch on that with him here as well. Marlon Favorite coming up at 2:15. Don't forget his show live tonight at the Social Club over there downtown, 6 to 8 o'clock. You can listen to it right here on ESPN New Orleans. And Leo Haggerty will join us, talk a little basketball and what our lead is today, which was close finishes over the weekend on Saturday and Sunday. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation. That, of course, is the Ruderman Can caller and guest hotline, 800-998-1003. Buddy will take your phone calls over in the LaRoe studios. So give him a buzz and he will say hello to you, as always. The other aspect of it that we'll be touching on here as well is, again, some of the things that finished close. A note cigar? I don't know. What was closer? Did you watch the Kentucky Derby? Did you watch the NASCAR race last night and see the finish there as well? Because that was something that really stood out in looking at it. But I know we watched it. We the guys' weekend, we did not go anywhere until that race came to a conclusion.
Time now for The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
You know, I just thought about, obviously, in watching the Kentucky Derby and watching the NASCAR race that ended literally by the lip of a car, the nostril of a nose. I mean, it was unbelievable back on Saturday.
And it's moving up quickly as Crown Pride takes the lead around the far turn. It is Crown Pride battling with Messier. They're stride for stride. Epicenter and Zozo's in behind them. Cyberknife speeds up to the outside. Sandon gets the rail run.
And that was the 2022 finish of the race, or what it was. And, you know, you look at the finish this year, and it was pretty incredible. When you look at it, was literally a nostril that happened to be the difference in this race here as well. And it was incredible. Travis Stone, who had the call.
Launching his rally too. It is wide open. Catching Freedom's going to come through toward the inside. They're off the turn. Mystic Dan cut the corner and grabbed the lead right at the top of the stretch. Sierra Leone and Forever Young are shoulder to shoulder with a furlong to go, but they've got two lengths to make up on Mystic Dan, who's begging for the wire. Forever Young and Sierra Leone keep on coming. Sierra Leone, Forever Young, and Mystic Dan. A wild finish. Here's the wire. Photo finish. Three noses on the wire. Mystic Dan, Sierra Leone, and Forever Young in an international thriller.
It does. I'll tell you what, there are certain things, having called sports in my life, that I wouldn't have the slightest idea how to do. That is one of them for sure. And then obviously hockey. I don't know how I could. I just can't. I mean, the speed of it, just getting to know and everything. And if you watch him in that photos, like from, I guess, like a GoPro in the booth, he's got a little thing on his neck that has all the horses in front of him. He's calling you with binoculars. I no idea how he could do that. It's pretty incredible to see that. But man, when you look at that finish, it is something that was pretty cool to see as they came, I guess, down the stretch or off the turn. What was it, like five horses across, which was incredible. When you look at all of the different aspects of it and the horse coming down, again, let's be honest, I'm probably the majority. I wouldn't know anything about those horses other than, you know, the Louisiana Derby winner, obviously, because we follow it here at the fairgrounds and see it. But for the most part, I would say you're probably just kind of looking at, man, you want a good race. I don't know the first thing for many of them, if they're going to get that. But that seemed to be one of the most exciting finishes, right? And it definitely seemed like there's always some sort of tie, such as the winner, Brian Hernandez Jr. was the jockey. And he's a Louisiana native, as in Lafayette, winning his first Kentucky Derby. And you heard him on the horse, you know, post-race interview on the track there, 20 years. He's been doing there as well. The trainer, as Jeff Duncan tweeted back on the 4th, Kenny McPeak, has a home in the French Quarter, lives during the fairgrounds meets, sweeps the Kentucky Derby and Kentucky Oaks. So another weekend for him, who is a Louisiana native, and jockey Brian Hernandez. So again, there's so many different ties to it. It really is incredible year in year that happens. It is pretty cool. So I don't know, that was exciting to see it. and to kind of see that finish. And it was funny because then last night you had another photo finish that was just as close, if not closer, when you look at it. So it was pretty cool just to see how the NASCAR race ended to it. So you had two events that literally went down as Kyle Larson won by like a lip. Like, I don't even know if you call it, you know, it's the front spoiler of the car. I don't know how it sounded like.
Larson right with him. But Buescher with the launch off turn two. Elliott way on the outside.
He's got it so far. The blocking is going to happen. Here it comes. Comes Denny to the, or excuse me, Truex to the inside. Look at the big block by Buescher. Pushes Larson up the racetrack. Three wide behind them.
Three wide, four different places coming to the back. White flag under green. Buescher, Larson trying to close. Truex trying to get up to the leader.
Well, how does he make the block, Kevin?
Kyle Larson is going to get there one more time. You see Chris Buescher back down on the bottom of the racetrack. Kyle Larson's going to have one more shot at it, and it's going to become a cat and mouse game as you get into turn three. Which direction to go?
Where do you go?
Larson up top, all the way up top. Buescher.
He's on the outside. He's in position. He's got it.
And here comes Truex. They're going to close right to the two leaders. Coming to the line. Crash together. I believe Buescher.
I think you're right. It's so close.
It may be the five.
I love it. Let's go to replay.
Hold on.
Well, let's have a look at the video.
It literally is like from the movie Cars.
Is ahead. Larson is coming. It's like the Kentucky Derby.
I mean, it's incredible just to kind of see those two things be that close. And I just think, what if you didn't have cameras or a photo finish back then? Who would win? I mean, how do you even know? It's incredible to kind of see those two finishes, though. The Derby and the NASCAR race yesterday won by Kyle Larson. So, anyway, those two things really stood out over the weekend, just in terms of how close those finishes are, as Travis Stone is being interviewed on the Pat McAfee show over on ESPN right now. And again, I have no idea how you call those things. Kudos to those people that can call it, because, man, that is... And when you think about it, too, right, those races, that race, the call is just as important. It goes with the video. It goes with... what happens? So it's pretty remarkable when you look at it. An international thriller, as he says there as well. Hey, Hour 1 is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters for all things fly fishing over in the Gulf Coast and kayaks. Go check them out. NoWakeOutfitters.com, 1926 Airline Drive over in Metairie between Causeway and the Parish Line. Look, it's basically across from Premier Fitness. It's catty corner to your right from the big old furniture store that's there. That's kind of where it's located on Airline, right? So... go stop on in, see Jonathan. They're local. They literally fly fish for a living. That's what he does. He's literally said when we did the remote there a couple weeks ago, he has any free time. Literally, he'll just grab his kayak, throw it in the water, and go out there and do a little fishing. So he'll tell you where the fish are biting. He'll tell you what's best for you. Go give them a look-see over there. We'll take our first break, 800-998-1003 on the Rudiman Can caller and guest line. We'll have an open segment at the bottom of the hour. Love to hear from you as well. Pels fans, we've had a week now since the Pels season ended. Ollie Kelsey is going to join us. It's that time of season. You're going to see reports here, reports there. I mean, look, I just literally refreshed Twitter. The Clippers have made multiple contract offers to Paul George, which he will not accept because it's below the max. It appears he will hit unrestricted free agency. Some he's already been linked to the Heat, a couple of other teams here as well. So in a summer that might see a lot of movement, I'm interested to see what Ali has to say about that here as well. We're off and running. It's the Sports Hangover on this Monday, May 6th on ESPN New Orleans.
Everyone, it's Gus Kattengill, and it just got easier. Lakeview Massage and Therapy, the premier orthopedic massage clinic in New Orleans, now has online booking. Simply go to lakeviewmassageandtherapy.com, click book online, and you're on your way. The drop-down menu shows you all of the specialized ways the therapist can help you. Hey, we all like getting great service and saving a little money. Save with packages and memberships, and let me help you as well. Book online, put in the word hangover, get 15% off your massage when you check out. It's lakeviewmassagetherapy.com, now with online booking, where recovery meets relaxation.
Join us for the Louisiana Bleds and Balloon Fest on Friday, May 17th and Saturday, May 18th. at the Oak Ridge Community Park in Golden Meadow. Get ready for hot air balloon race, tethered balloon rides, live music, auto show, local craft vendors, great Cajun food, games, and so much more. Kicking off the Band Fest lineup is Circle Band on Friday night, 7 to 10, and Saturday is Roger Dowdy Band. Benjamin Bruce and the Acadians, Ryan Foray and Foray Tradition, 6 to 9. All proceeds go to our positive enforcement project.
Hello, friends and family. Back again to talk about Dufresne Building Materials. Did you know that we have a new updated online order system called Dufresne Easy Buy? Come see us at DufresneLumber.com to check it out and get you started with a free quote. We now have 8 convenient locations to serve you, which include Cutoff, Thibodeau, Luling, Belchase, Araby, Slidell, Gulfport, and Grand Isle. And no matter how big we grow as a company, we promise to keep that local family business feel and welcome you with a smile. So come give the local guys a try and experience the Dufresne difference.
Welcome to No Wake Outfitters, located in Metairie, just east of Causeway Boulevard, your one-stop fly shop kayak and sportsman outfitters. You can check out our new kayak demos and our new pool and sea casting demonstrations. We have a new selection of functional and comfortable apparel from your favorite brands for the cooler weather. And our dedicated staff is here and ready to provide you with the knowledge to make an informed purchase. Come on in to check out some of our exclusive brands, such as Rugged Road, Turtle Box, Orvis, New Canoe, Old Town, and oh yeah, New Canoe 2022 kayaks are now 20% off. No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie.
How can you be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation on the Rudiment Can Caller and Guest Line. Joining us lines, Mr. Ollie Kosel covers the Pelicans and the NBA. Your friend and mine. What's up, Ollie? Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Hey, Gus. I'm doing well. How about yourself, buddy?
I'm doing well, man. Doing good. Let's start with Pels. I guess we'll get into the NBA playoffs because, man, I got to be honest with you. I got a baseball game, Little League game at 7:30, and I'm going to miss some of it, but I can't wait. I'm interested in the Pacers-Knicks series and also, of course, the T-Wolves and Nuggets going into game two. But I did tease going into the break, 'tis the season. It is that part of the year for teams that are done for speculation to grow. I just refreshed it, and Paul George is linked to several teams. He's not going to take anything under the max, all of that. We're worried about the Pels. Over the weekend, there was a tweet out there that said the Pels kind of maybe looking to move on from Brandon Ingram, who's owed up to $200 million and plus over 4 years on the max. What do you make of all of that? And do you think that when David Griffin says we have to make major moves, a major move like that would be one that they would consider?
Yeah, well, I saw the tweet too, and boy, did that catch fire, right? No, look, I know that the Pelicans still really, really like Brandon Ingram. I think all this boils down to is this might be a little bit of that agent speak, because look, Brandon didn't do himself any favors in trying to earn a max contract on his next deal. Right, we saw it. He even admitted himself he had his worst season in New Orleans uniform. None of this, you saw the postseason, none of this adds up to, right, getting rewarded with a max contract. So my guess is it's simple, max. Right, the Pelicans don't want to pay a max. Brandon, of course, is still seeking one. So that, to me, is probably as far as you go with in terms of Brandon Ingram not being liked by the Pelicans, right? I think if they could come to some middle ground, I think a deal gets done.
Right.
It's really as simple as that. As far as not giving any kind of contract extension, no, I talked to some people. There's no real viability in that, right? I just don't believe that to be true.
I'm with you, and I'm going to go into it with you here as well, because I don't know if it's a popular or not a popular opinion, and I understand it's because of what you kind of just saw, that people will feel that way. But here's the facts, right? He had his best season in terms of assist, like the team in it. He had his best season in terms of playing defense. He's played the best defense that he had this year. And a month and a half ago, you on the show, you and I talked about this is probably the best overall basketball season that Brandon Ingram has had. Now he had what we saw afterwards in the postseason. But because of that, and more importantly, because of what I heard in the offseason or in that postgame presser, him saying this was the worst year in a Pelicans uniform. I'm going to go back to that here in a quick sec, but for those 17 minutes, he didn't skate what happened in the postseason. But for all of that and the fact that he was the best in two other versions that this coach likes, I don't think there's any way they don't want him back. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. That's where I wanted to go, actually, with this conversation. Look, and this is why I think last week, right, because we talked about if it has to be somebody to go, we looked at CJ, right? Because he's not giving you defensively what you want in Willie Green's schemes, right? He can be easily taken advantage of. We went through that, right, with OKC. Before that, the Lakers. Any good, smart team, they do that. You find that weakness and you expose it. Brandon Ingram isn't that, right? We saw it just in the OKC series, right, where finally he got put on Chet Holmgren, and I thought that was the play, right? Anytime you play OKC, if Brandon Ingram is still on team, that's who's going to be guarding him. Because, look, he's quick, he's agile, but Brandon Ingram's got length to defend him. Chet doesn't have that size advantage, right? He's not that strong, not that heavy. So you can't really move B.I. And, of course, B.I. then on switches, it's fantastic, right? All of a sudden, then B.I. is guarding Shea, whoever's coming off the screen. And we saw how well B.I. did defensively, as you mentioned. Best year by far, I thought. And so, like you said, that plays the Willie Green schemes. That's value, right? That's valuable. That's impacting your winning here. That's where CJ doesn't. So, no, by all accounts, if you just remove that recency bias of how he closed the season, Brandon Ingram is far and away the more valuable player to this Pelicans squad overall. Over CJ, a lot of guys that
right.
people are throwing in trade rumors for me, you know. So, no, I don't think this organization is going to move on from him, and they're right to look at it that way.
I mean, you heard what David Griffin said. It sure sounded like he valued who he was, and he specifically didn't even go to the numbers. He went to what he brings in the locker room. And Ali, I think you've talked to people as much as I have here as well. Players respect him. More importantly, Zion respects him. And I actually like listening to Brandon at the end say, hey, look, the only way you're going to move forward is communication. We have to talk. Like, and when he was specifically talking about Zion and the coaching staff. So that's, I think you need that level of maturity on there. And again, you've seen him get better since he's been here, and he's played better since he got his first contract. I think fans sometimes forget he has already signed one contract extension here. And I think a lot of times you can look at what you can add. As David Griffin said, we need to look at what we can do to help these three guys. That gets him back to where he was. I love the fact that he was an assist leader. But, Ali, I don't know if I want Brandon Ingram, a scorer, being the team leader in assist. In other words, if I bring in a point guard, would that series be a little bit differently, right? Can Dort do what he did even if Zion doesn't play? How much more open can this offense be or his game be if he's not literally the leader in assist for the Pelicans?
Yep. That's why the Pelicans are so interested in the point guard. We've heard this going back to the last trade deadline. And prime example was exactly what happened in the playoffs, how it unfolded. Pelicans' offense was absolutely clunky. So, yeah, they missed a bunch of open shots. But let's face it, they also didn't get easy shots, right? It's one thing to shoot open threes. It's another to get those easy lay-ins, right? Maximizing your transition opportunities. And that's something, right? That's another thing. Pelicans always, you know, under Willie Green, have been a great deflection team. High steals. But yet in transition, if you look over the last 3 years, they've never been in the top, you know, even third percentile. They've usually been hovering right around average or below it. So there's a lot of areas where you could just clean up by getting, right, that smarter decision-making. And Griff even mentioned that, right? He would love for everybody to get smarter, to get those smart players. When somebody asks, I think, about Chris Paul or just getting another point guard in. So, no, Gus, I think that would unlock a lot of things. And I think that's the reason why in Boston, why over the years you've seen Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown take a lot of flack because their offense can look clunky. But look what they did, right? Now there's Jrue Holiday, Derek White. There's a lot more ball handlers. And I don't think the Pelicans have that. Right? C.J. McCollum is by far and away not anywhere close to even be a secondary playmaker for me. Right? He can't get his own shot at the rim. He can't really create for others. He doesn't have the type of vision, right, to make that pass, diagonal cross-court passes you never see. So Pelicans have a major hole there. Yeah. Jose Alvarado, when he's in, he does a decent job, but you need more than that. And I think you need more than even Dyson if he develops. So, no, I think a point guard would open up a lot. And to your first point, yeah, when David Griffin was talking about ancillary pieces, that's yet another reason why people should really stop looking at this team wanting to move on from B.I. because it speaks directly to the opposite of what Griff said.
Yeah, he's only 26 years old here as well. And to your point, when you're looking at teams right now that are in the postseason now, second round, the play of the point guard or a ball handler has really helped. And almost when I look at it, this team, the Mike Conley piece, right? Here's a guy that just got another extension here in the last month of the season. He's not the guy you think of when it comes to Minnesota and the T-Wolves. But having him in that backcourt to handle the pressure, the ball, bring it up the court, then give it to Anthony Edwards, or just be able to have that, make a shot or two – How much different is that team since they went out and got Conley?
Oh, it's like night and day, right? I mean, credit to a lot of the moves they've made. But, yeah, Mike Conley, if you just want to speak in terms of allowing Anthony Edwards, like taking some of the pressure off him, just running the offense when Ant isn't on the court, right? I mean, they had Karl-Anthony Towns, and they were just an explosive type of team at times, but sometimes they're explosive in the negative, right, where they would just self-sabotage. That's why they never made noise in the playoffs. Karl-Anthony Towns, that emotional kind of guy. But if you've got a Mike Conley, yeah, that helps control that situation a lot better, helps dictate where the offense is going to go. And Karl-Anthony Towns, to his credit, he bought into it. Ant now emerges as a leader. But your point, yeah, Mike Conley fits in so perfectly, and it'd be great for the Pelicans to find somebody exactly like that, a carbon copy. I wish it existed, because if you look around the league, Gus, I mean, who is it?
Yeah. Chris
Paul, I just don't think you can count on even to play 20 minutes a game anymore, right? He's just aged out for you, I feel like. And like I said, I don't know where else to look. So that's why I think the Pelicans, right, rumored DeJounte Murray. Maybe there's going to be Darius Garland news. I don't know if Colin Sexton, the Utah fancy of theirs. But, yeah, I don't know where they look for that kind of veteranship, kind of that stability. But I don't think anything obvious sits out there. So that's going to be my biggest question. I think we all know kind of the centers they want. But who can you get as a point guard for this team?
To your point, which is why it's something that was brought up last week, and I thought it was real interesting. Will Guillory of the Athletic, I said, hey, David Griffin just happens to walk past you, puts his arm around you. Hey, what's up, man? Good. Thanks for the coverage. Do what you do. What do you think we should do? And he said center. And then he brought up specifically why, because I thought it was going to be point guard. And he's like, no. He said, redo the center room. And then he went through the list of teams. And you know what? In the Western Conference, it's almost like the return and the rise of the big man, right? The versatile big man, but it's still big man here as well. I mean, he brought up, obviously, the Spurs, but he mentioned Şengün over there in Houston, who has absolutely cooked the Pelicans, all that stuff. And I'm like, you know, man, that is the case. So if I'm going assets or maybe making the move with the trade or money that way, here's what I would do, Ollie. Then I look at the draft in point guard, and that might scare people. Because it's a young player, I understand that. But what I would do is I would try to move up to 2 or 3 and draft the best point guard available. That's 6'6 or above or something of that nature. Then you have a building block and piece, something like you and I talked about in the past. What Minnesota and what OKC have done best. Orlando, look at what they've done. You know, they came up a game short yesterday against Cleveland. But they have a core of players that have been paired together for a while. When you go back to OKC, when you had Durant and Westbrook and all that, they didn't come in the same draft. They were every other year. So while I get that might shudder some fans going, we don't need a rookie. Well, I just need him to run the court this year. And then he can learn to score and all of that. But go find maybe, because that's the cheapest route to go, if that makes sense as well, right? You have them for the next couple of years. You're not worried about a max deal and all that other stuff. That's my only concern with going with a veteran, hey, we just really need a point guard, as opposed to let's find the one that we like, fits, we've seen it, it's proven, whatever. I don't know. What do you think of going and get a young point guard in the draft, high in the draft, and addressing that center position with big money and picks or a trade?
Yeah, I would like it more if the options were great, right? I think a lot of people like Robert Dillingham the most, but boy, his lack of size just scares me. I know he's explosive, he can score, but I don't like him. Of course, then for a guy that kind of fits your profile, Nikola Topic, right, from Serbia, he fits that profile. But then I ask, right, he's about 6'7", 6'8", good ball handler. It's questionable about, right, his athleticism, maybe his shooting. That almost sounds like a carbon copy of Dyson Daniels. So unless you're out on completely on Dyson Daniels, which I'm not. I still think, you know, what is he just turned 21 recently, something along those lines. So I feel like the Pelicans almost have that project.
That's a good point.
Doesn't have to be used as a trade piece. But if he does, well, then, yeah, you almost have to fill that hole with somebody, I guess.
So, Ollie, I've had several people not only verbally say but write it, and I've seen it on Twitter. They're calling this the worst draft in, like, NBA history. It's one of the worst drafts in the last 20 years.
I don't like it for the Pelicans.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're the Pels, you're deferring the Lakers pick?
For sure. Okay. Not even a question.
Pacers and Knicks, sir. Who do you like in this series? What intrigues you, man? Jalen Brunson's really kind of risen here as the guy in New York. But, man, Halliburton and that Pacer team, I think they could give the Knicks fits by not having Randall and all that because they're high flyers and they got a lot of paint presence. Who do you like in this series?
I think, honestly, the Knicks are going to win in like five. I don't know. I watched almost every minute of that Philadelphia series, and even going back to the regular season, I watched a lot of Knicks, and I just think they're simply too tough for the Pacers. You know, I think that the Pacers are going to be taken out of their game. We know what's the way they want to play, right? Shooting, scoring, space the floor, get out in transition. They don't care, honestly, how many points they give up. But I think against a team like the Knicks, they're going to eat you alive. So that's just my gut feeling. We know how the playoffs are called, right? You're not going to have those touch fouls. And you've got Josh Hart, Keith Vincenzo, and Brunson. Their chemistry's been amazing. And they've got the real centers, right? They've got Mitchell Robinson, Hart. I don't see them folding here. They're going to give up probably more than 150 points or so a game in Indiana, which they need to score, right? They need to get in the 120. I don't see it happening.
I love that. And as far as the T-Wolves and Nuggets go, does the series even up tonight?
I think it will. I mean, honestly, a lot of the Nuggets didn't play well. Even Jokic, right? Subpar shooting performance. This guy's the best player in the league. So I expect it's going to be like a 30-some-odd point performance where he shoots 75%, get the triple-double. And even though Ant's probably going to go off, it's not going to matter. Jamal and MJ, somebody's going to step up. Somebody else on the Nuggets team. But I tell you what, that series, I hope it goes seven. I think it's two teams where you got Vinny on the rise. Denver's not playing their best ball, don't have that defense. But I think Vinny, if they play really well across these seven games, I think they can win.
Ali Cosell, as always, man, appreciate the time. Covers the NBA and your New Orleans Pelicans. We'll talk again soon, sir. Thank you.
All right, guys. Take care.
Yep, sure. 800-998-1003. Pels fans, let's chat. We come back about that report or not. What do you make of it? Sports Hangover continues next.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Brian, likely Mile High Out West, just text me. That's why I threw it out there, Ali. This is being called one of the worst draft classes in all of humanity. So, again, I really honestly think college basketball should go to college baseball rules. If you think you're good, you think you're LeBron, have at it. Enjoy the NBA. I'd almost actually kind of do like what college baseball does too. You can see where you get drafted. And if you don't like it, you go to school, but you're there for 3 years. Develop, get your game better. Actually, if you like to attend a class or two, you could really cater it and tailor it to college athletes and some of the things that they would need moving on and forward, like financial classes, like understanding certain things here as well. I think there's a lot of benefits and positives for that because, again, you look at this and I wonder how Adam Silver and the rest of the league sort of feel about it. It's taking a while for players to either develop or not and do that. And I don't know, do you feel it? I don't think it's the same in football, because you have played 2-3 years, or you have gone through the portal a couple of times and gone through that route. Like, you look at Bo Nix and Jane Daniels. I don't know. I think you can't circumvent experience, if that makes sense. And you have to play. And Ed, you have to play against people that have that same talent level. Smoking St. Goose's of the Kattengill in a high school game is a lot different than playing guys that are also going to be drafted or at a top school or in the Sweet 16, Regional, Final Four, or Natty in college basketball. I mean, it just is, right? So that's the problem when you project a lot of these guys here as well, either one and duns or in high school. Are they good enough? Can they do that? I agree with Ali. I mean, Dillingham is kind of one of those guys that a lot of people kind of feel is good, but no defense, like size. Does that work? Can you see him play against the competition a few more years than that before you make that investment and stuff? So, I don't know. Where would you put it, Pels fans? Will Guillory, go center. Whether it's Shangoon, whether it's Wimbayama, it's easy to see that. But you look at the Twin Towers and Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert of the T-Wolves. Jokic, right? With the Nuggets. Sabonis. Like, I didn't think about it. Look, there's still a need, no doubt, for point guard. What's the bigger need for this team? Is it point guard? Or is it the center position? Or a versatile big, however you want to look at it. So I do find that interesting here as well. The other thing I saw over the weekend that really stood out was the criticism of, your king. He didn't get some favorable words. Did you watch PTI back on Friday? It's Michael Wilbon. He had this to say.
You know what? I'm angry. I've known Darvin Ham for a long time. And you're right. He's a great guy. And he's a pretty damn good coach. Because he took a team that had done nothing the year before, missed the playoffs. And last year they got to the conference finals with him. And everybody had praise for him, including LeBron and Anthony Davis. And now all of a sudden they, and I'm talking specifically to the two of them now. They blame him. If you want to be the GOAT, you want to tell everybody you're the GOAT, you're the greatest player of all time, you want to have it on podcasts, then take accountability like one. Do that. There's a social media thing out there now with Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan. It shows them after they lost in a series. And it shows the determination. It shows them saying, nope, we weren't good enough. I wasn't good enough. There's been some of that, but there hasn't been nearly enough. If you're the GOAT, you do that. You don't blame this cryptically or backhandedly on Darvin Ham. I don't want to hear from anybody in a Laker uniform that the primary problem was Darvin Ham. Yes, LeBron and Anthony Davis were great in that series, but they weren't good enough against Denver. So take that on. GOAT carries responsibility. I don't see it.
Wow. It was, that was interesting. Huh? Brian Windhorst at the rebuttal.
This is not a situation where LeBron went in there and was like, get rid of this coach. That is not something he has done, I don't think, ever. And really, in all honesty, ever since the Russell Westbrook transaction, I think LeBron has taken an extra step back from Lakers' moves because nobody wants their hands on that one. And everybody sort of pretends like it was somebody else's fault. But I do think that was a lesson with Laker transactions, including head coach.
Okay. Kendrick Perkins.
I hate to say it, but I believe this in my soul right now. I wish LeBron James will retire. The more LeBron James continue to play the game of basketball, the more it's going to hurt his legacy, and the more it's going to continue to hurt his GOAT argument. Because as long as he steps foot on that floor, every single season is going to be expectations of him of winning a championship. And when he don't do that, we're going to be looking at him and saying, well, what happened now?
That's right. Evan Cohen this morning from Unsportsmanlike.
As LeBron James potentially enters into free agency, the Los Angeles Lakers never make this move without knowing by firing Darvin Ham, they have a better chance of getting LeBron back. When he wants no blood on his hands, the blood is all over his hands. He's the second greatest player of all time. Off the court, the guy is maybe the greatest of all time in terms of what he has done for people and everything. But he's uncoachable at times.
There it is. That is your latest LeBron update. We are required. It's an ESPN affiliate to give you the very latest on LeBron, deflect from LeBron. No, I'm kidding. I do not get an email about that, but you would think so because it's all about LeBron. It really is. It is what it is. Speaking of Perkins, he had this to say about the T-Wolves. As again, they take on the Nuggets tonight, game two.
I'm going to tell you this. The Minnesota Timberwolves are going to the NBA Finals. I know that much. As long as they're healthy, that wasn't a fluke what we saw last night. This is who they've been all season long. A bunch of dogs, some nasty wolves.
Stephen A., kind of backing up what Perkins had to say in terms of what he sees with Minnesota. And he had this to say.
I got Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves winning this series. I mean, I've seen enough. This brother is he is so sensational, it's hard to put into words. This brother is the truth and a half. He is the real deal.
Truth and a half. Brian Windhorst, do you have a truth and a half statement on Anthony Edwards?
Playing better, maybe not. I mean, Brunson is probably had the best playoffs so far.
Okay.
But Ant is right there. Jokic is right there. And the thing about Ant is that he plays both ends of the court. They are the number one defensive team, partially because Ant works hard on that end. He is 6'4 with extremely long arms and works his tail off on offense, does the whole thing with a smile, is not afraid of big shots, explosive player. This is a guy that is as exciting as a player as we've seen in the NBA, coming to the NBA in a while, and definitely is the future face of the league.
Wow. Evan Cohen, again, host of Unsportsmanlike, like, let's settle down, because over the week, especially after that game, he is Michael Jordan. Anthony Edwards actually said yesterday, can we please stop that? He's the greatest of all time. I haven't won a playoff series. Let's slow down. Evan Cohen.
He hasn't won anything. Can we just relax a little bit before we start comparing to Michael Jordan, please? Can we stop? Michael Jordan's greatness is because he's invincible in the biggest of moments, 6-0 in the finals. No matter what the circumstances, you believe he can win. Anthony Edwards is a phenomenal player. It is not even going out on a limb to say he's on a Hall of Fame path right now. It's not going out on a limb to say he's on a championship path. But there's a chance he doesn't even get out of the second round. And I know they're facing the Denver Nuggets, who are the defending champs, and awesome. I get all of that. There has to be some level of caveat of if he accomplishes this or when he accomplishes it. But he hasn't done it yet.
Nah, don't tell an opposing radio host.
Anthony Edwards, again, has been putting himself really on the map all season long just by what he's able to do, jumping out of the gym, some of the great plays that he's making, and consistently putting the team on his back and delivering victories like he did in Game 1 and another 40-point performance. The dude is fantastic. And, again, the NBA world is really getting to know who Anthony Edwards is.
There it is. Look, I'm with you. That's, I think, what Evan was bringing up. It is interesting in this world of sports talk radio. You're the worst player of all time. You stink. Or you're the greatest of all time based off of one game. This is not really is. Hot takes. Got to have your hot takes on that. I love Anthony Edwards, though. I do think he is, and I'll put Zhao up there, just they must watch TV. I mean, if they're playing, you got to watch. They're going to do something spectacular. It's not even really the physical attributes that I like about it. It is that mentality. I mean, he looks ticked off, and it's something that really stood out to me. And if you get a chance, you can go check it out. I did the Pelicans podcast this morning with Jim Eichenhofer. Our guest was Antonio Daniels, who we can talk for 3 hours. And that's what he kept saying over and over again in today's pod, that this team needs to be ready in October. And he said it. He's like, you should be pissed off by being swept. And he spelled the word swept, you know, sweep. And he's like, and that's what I love. Those guys I just mentioned, they play ticked off. They play upset. They play like they're angry at you. And they play like that from day one, game one. And that's what he said is what he wants to see. He didn't even go into individual games, jumpers, or this and that. And we're doing the player profiles right now. So Zion was today. He literally went on for almost 15 minutes on being ready in October, game one. Mentally, physically, and kind of like I added to it too. So no player only meetings in November, like that Dallas. No other meeting after the play-in meeting at the Lakers. I agree with him. You can't have that if you want to be where these teams are in April, right? I mean, look at the Pacers. They were a team that everyone was talking to going into the play-in tournament. Were very exciting. They got beat by the Lakers. But are you really that surprised that they're still playing right now? So that was interesting to do that. But go check that out if you want to go see or hear what AD had to say. And congrats to him and Joel Myers being named one of the top three broadcast teams in all the NBA behind New York and Brooklyn. And as AD said this morning, oh, little New Orleans right behind the top market in the league. So he was appreciative of he and Joel getting that nod as well. Look, you add the graph, you add what Jim does with the pod, with you know, the website and everything. I do think Pels fans, you get some nice coverage from your local guys from there as well, including Ollie and Jake and Will and everybody else and Christian Clark that covers the team as well. So many other people do that, Pels 12, the work. So I'm not surprised that people voted those guys third in the NBA. Mario Harez will join us next. We'll talk about some of the things that stood out to him over the weekend. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Can we talk sports?
Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003 is the Rudiman Can caller and guest line. It's Mario Harez joins us here. Thank you again, sir, for filling in a couple Fridays ago. I think it was Friday, or I don't even know what day it was, man. Today is Monday, right? I do know that.
Yes.
It is Monday.
You got it right. It is Monday. And I'm happy to fill in anytime, Gus. Happy to join you today, as always. How's it going, my man?
For sure, man. One of the things that we enjoyed doing over the weekend was following social media, in particular LSU fan. Poor LSU fan. Happy on one side in one sport and maybe not so happy in another side. What am I referring to, Mario?
Yes. So fans are going to fan, but, you know, in our profession, we have to keep up with Twitter and kind of the pulse of the fan bases. And LSU Twitter right now is very happy about the baseball team, although they kind of blew the sweep over Texas A&M yesterday in a game that they were leading. But pretty good on the baseball side with that win, the series win. But on the football side, there's a lot of frustration from LSU fans right now. And maybe a little exaggerated, but they're missing on a ton of targets in the transfer portal, and especially in positions of need. When you look at defensive tackle, which is a big position of need for LSU, they wanted to get Simeon Barrow from Michigan State. He commits to Miami, and then 24 hours, that's 24 hours after LSU misses on Dominic Williams, the TCU D tackle that ends up going to Oklahoma. So now they're kind of in desperation mode, and I've heard Matt Moscona, other people that cover the team, talk a lot about CJ West, who's a defensive tackle out of Kent State, and, you know, all due respect to the young man, had a really good season, but if you're hinging on a transfer from Kent State to come join you at a position of need, maybe not quite where LSU fans want to be in year three of Brian Kelly. So Twitter going to Twitter, but that's pretty much what's going on in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, Mario, I literally got a text from a buddy and said, can you play defensive tackle? I'm 5'7". I'm not playing defensive tackle. Believe me, I'm not even 200 pounds. So I don't know if you want to go with me when it comes to that. It is kind of remarkable when you look at it, though. Look, I mean, you have draft needs and you have not draft needs, but you have needs in that you try to address it in the transfer portal. You'll try to address it in terms of recruiting, and you've gone out and got a really good D-line coach and all those things. What do you think is part of the issue over there? Just wild guess.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, man, I think it's kind of a broad thing, but just recruiting. I feel like when you look at, and in transfer portal specifically, I mean, because you got Jaden Daniels, who, you know, maximized his game, won the Heisman Trophy. Mekhi Wingo is really good along the defensive line. But if you look at kind of in the new era of the last 2-3 years, LSU really hasn't been as good in the transfer portal, even as good as schools like Ole Miss that have been a little bit more effective there. And it's defensive tackle right now, but the last couple of years it's been a defensive back. You know, you're not really getting the traditional recruits at the same level you were before, not really at DBU, and then you're not really making an impact in the transfer portal with Brian Kelly. Like I said, you've gotten a couple of good players, Jaden Daniels, Mekhi Wingo, but they just haven't really been effective there. I don't know if that's a Brian Kelly thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's an NIL thing, which LSU seems to be lacking a little bit there, but they just have not produced the results in the transfer portal for whatever reason.
Mario, we've been talking a little bit about the NBA playoffs, and Ollie joined us. We talked about the Pels here as well, and that report over the weekend of maybe the Pels are moving on from Brandon Ingram or not. Look, that max he's eligible worth is, you know, over $200 million, anywhere between 202 I've seen 220, whatever it is, 4 years, $200+ million. What do you judge just by looking at social media reaction on that?
Man, it seems pretty divided, man. Like a lot of people are victims of recency bias, obviously, with Brandon Ingram and the performance that he had in the playoffs. But Ollie, who you just had on, and others, make some really good points. He's come a long way as a playmaker. He had a career high in blocks this season, which a lot of people don't talk about. And I feel a little bad kind of making him the scapegoat to him taking the sole brunt of the Pelicans' misfortunes this season. Yes, he was bad in the playoffs, but they have some really interesting decisions to make here. And the tweet that you're mentioning is from Evan Cedery, who works for Forbes Sports, apparently, at E. Cedery on Twitter. This may or may not be legit, but it's definitely something to think about, because he points out that Trey Murphy is also eligible for a rookie-scale extension that could pay him $20, $25 million a year. And I think regardless of what they do with B.I., guys, you need to find bigger roles for guys like Herb Jones, Trey Murphy, Dyson Daniels, you guys mentioned. Homegrown talent, that's how you become successful in the small market, right? If not, you put your chips to the table and try to add more stars. But I think the Pelicans have done a really good job in the draft the last couple of years. And this will be a decision to make with Brandon Ingram. Really interesting. But regardless of what happens, I think you do need to fit Trey Murphy in there, possibly make him a starter. And you need to give Herb Jones a little bit more freedom on offense because his three-point shot has really improved. Mm-hmm. And I think his off-the-dribble game is coming along too. So B.I., hopefully, whether he's on the team or not, his skill set is going to be as needed as it was this season. You need to find roles for those guys. And getting Jordan Hawkins on the court would be nice as well.
I was going to say that. You know, look, I've gotten so many suggestions in the past week. Hey, move on from CJ, give Jordan his spot there as well. Trey Murphy and the Zach Lowe podcast. I'm sure you heard that, Mario, about a week and a half ago. That was literally one of the topics was, I think the person with Zach Lowe said he thought that Trey Murphy was a top three Pelican, and he's not three. So that gives you an idea of what they thought about him on that nature. So it is going to be interesting because, as I said in the beginning of the show, tis the season. Every other day, you're going to get some sort of speculation, and we know this game, Mario. The agents are using it. Maybe the team can use it as well, but we have seen players or people that represent them to try to either pump them up a bit or not and kind of get, you know, some idea which to go, just like I saw earlier this morning. Paul George not accepting anything less than the max from the Clippers, which makes him eligible, you know, to really go choose his team in free agency this summer. So we'll see what happens with that, man. But obviously the rest of the playoffs are going on. What do you make of the T-Wolves, man, and Anthony Edwards? I just played some sound bites with some players that are really, really liking it. But what do you make of that?
Man, honestly, man, I did not expect this from the Timberwolves at all coming into the season. And we knew Anthony Edwards made a leap even going into last year. But I think Rudy Gobert, who apparently is questionable tonight, it looks like he's getting ready to have a son/daughter. So I'm sure he's really happy they won the first game, a little less pressure to play tonight. But he's really come a long way, I think, in making himself playable in the playoffs, right? Like, offensively, in his days in Utah, he was a black hole at times. But I think he's really efficient, spreading the court at least a little bit, like at least from the free throw line inward. And then Naz Reid, man, LSU Tiger. I'm not sure, Gus, if you follow Roger Sherman on Twitter. He works for The Ringer. But he took a screenshot of his timeline where everybody was talking about Naz Reid, and it was basically to the tune of the Dolly Parton song, where it goes, Naz Reid, Naz Reid, Naz Reid, showing you why he's NBA six man, or something like that. So, yes, Anthony Edwards
that was really
is
good,
the
by beat.
The way. That
was really good. Yeah.
Thank you. He's playing MVP caliber basketball, but the rest of that team, and give Chris Finch his credit, like maximizing guys in their roles. And it's fun to watch if you're a Timberwolves fan, but as I told you in our text message, man, if you're a Pelicans fan, it gives you a little bit of FOMO, seeing the Timberwolves doing so well, seeing OKC doing so yeah. well. Teams that were parallel with you when you were starting your rebuild, right?
Yep.
So as a neutral NBA fan, it's fun to watch what Minnesota's doing, but as a Pelicans fan, definitely a little frustrating.
Yeah. I'll tell you what's even more frustrating is you realize we're still waiting for Zion to play a single playoff game. Kind of hard to do a rebuild around a franchise player when the franchise player is yet to play a playoff game.
Yes.
You know, I mean,
exactly.
The guys you just talked about, well, there's SGA, Anthony Edwards, they have played in playoff games. I mean, it's just, it's tough, man, when you look at it like that. Dude, I have to finish with this with you. Are you going, or are you going to credential us to go do the show from the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl presented by Gin and Juice?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I'm 100% down, and I need to know what the swag pack for the winning team is. Like, does the winning team get a fruit thing of gin, and then the losers get the juice? I know Snoop Dogg probably get creative with the party favors there, but yes, man, I'm down. And I love seeing all the new bowl games. We had the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl a few years ago. It seems like the absurdity just keeps getting ramped up with these bowl games. But yes, anything Snoop Dogg, I am there.
Yeah, I talked about it on Friday. CBSSports.com posted a story where, like, college schools, I mean, the NCAA and a lot of the schools in FS, you know, in the first division, whatever it's called now, they send more bowl games because some of those are now being taken out due to obviously it being, 12 teams. They think eventually we'll get to 16 teams in 2026. So they're all in favor of more bowl games. Well, this is hilarious. I mean, I saw his announcement video here as well. I got to go screen it, make sure it's clean. But I love it. I love the logo. I mean, there it is. Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl. So, Mario, what other athlete or, I guess, musician or just something, what other bowl would you like to see presented by that person's name?
Man, I'm trying to think who's hot right now. musicians are always
just because
on
I want to see Twitter melt down. I want the Taylor Swift Bowl.
Yes, there you go. The Taylor Swift Bowl appearances by all the Kelce's and everything. How about that Tom Brady roast last night? By the way, that was hilarious.
I don't know what was my favorite, but I thought the Drew Bledsoe one was pretty good. I celebrated two things, you know, recently. That one of them being my 28th wedding anniversary. You know, that's something that you'll never do. Dude, some of those roasts seemed a little personal, but they were pretty good.
A little bit, but yeah, I always like those kind of things. Always seeing people in that environment that you don't see very often. And yeah, he definitely pushed the envelope on some of the jokes with two Jets and Drew Bledsoe. But definitely good television. I encourage you to check it out if you haven't
already. Yeah, the Aaron Hernandez one. Yeesh. That was tough. His wife is not happy, by the way, on that there as well. Anyway, Mario Harez, thank you so much, man, for joining us. And we'll talk again soon. If you want to follow Mario over there on X, it's real easy. Go ahead and do so at Mario_E. And it's written Jarez, right, Mario?
Yes. Written Jarez, pronounced Jarez.
Jarez. There it is. I don't know why I said ha, but hey. Anyway, thank you, sir. Appreciate the time, man. Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a good Monday, my friend.
Yeah, for sure. Quick break. We come back. Hour two, which will be brought to you by Christmas Paving. But hour one was brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, your one-stop shop for all things fly fishing over on the Gulf Coast. 1926 Airline Drive over at Metairie. NoWakeOutfitters.com, the website. Hour two of the Sports Hangover next on ESPN New Orleans.